Welcome. Our speaker this morning, Reverend Svetlana Pompezza.
As I was preparing for this particular message this morning, I have sensed a very unusual awareness. And I want to just put it on the table so we can all have the same anticipation with which I came today. My spirit, I'm expecting a sweet, empowering anointing over the church this morning. And I'm not just saying that. The Lord has reaffirmed over and over as I had touched the message to prepare. So before we go into the Word, I would like for us to go in prayer with that sort of expectation. Let us all lift our voices and have an air of expectancy that He will tangibly be present among us this morning. Father, in all humbleness, yet in all excitement, we stand before You because we know who we serve. We know who we came to meet this morning here in this place. And we just want to say, we invite You, Holy Spirit, take control over this service. Holy Spirit, You are not just invited to be present, but You are invited to lead us into the depths that You desire for us. We, Your servants, we commit our lives to You, and we look with so much expectation and anticipation to what You are about to do. For Your presence is overwhelming. And when You take control, our self rises up to the optimum of who You created us to be. And we're inviting You this morning for that anointing to rest upon every one of us, that we may truly walk into the call for what You have created us. In the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son, in whom You have given all authority in heaven and on earth, we ask this with the anticipation that it would be so this morning. Amen. Amen. Do you remember the question I posed last time I preached? I'm going to rescue you. I asked you this time, can our kind of church, do you remember now? Okay, I see you going this way, change that kind of world? And we went into the belief systems, we went into the mode of apparatus that we use. What makes us who we are, examining, do we have enough contrast between here and out there to expect that that conflict may produce a change? Remember that? We explored that. I had some very deep, interesting conversations with several of you in both of the services, because I think that word really hit certain areas that were deep-seated and questions that needed to be answered in a very honest way. So that question was just posed up there, hanging in the air. Can our kind of church change that kind of world? So this morning, this is part two, and actually the answer of the question. So I'll tell you what I believe fundamentally that the answer is. And for that reason, I was so assured this whole week that the anointing is on us and on God's church? Because the answer is, for sure, our kind of church can change that kind of world. Kind of church. Who are we? We are the redeemed of the Lord, the living church, the true body of Christ, who was changed because a person have committed with everything in themselves to step from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And as we make this transition, we become countercultural. There isn't anything in commonality between the Christian culture of the true body of Christ and the culture of the world that is emerged in the darkness that comes from the pits of hell. For they are fed by the Father of all lies and all darkness. So light and darkness clashes. But I want to ask you, you walk in a pitch dark room. Let's say you're in the middle of communist environment. We get those blackouts very often. So all of a sudden we're going about our daily stuff at night, trying to do dinner, and the lights go out. There is a blackout. Frantically we start looking for a match and a candle, flick that match, and that little bitty candle, that light of just one candle, dispels the darkness. And we can actually see and we can continue dinner. Do you agree that even the light of a small little bitty candle can dispel the darkness of a room? I know we've all experienced that. Even a slight beam of light is just sufficient to be countercultural to darkness and dispel what comes as a sticky disorientation when you are in a dark room. So I'm here this morning to talk about how this kind of church can truly be the answer to that kind of world. How this kind of church can effectively change that kind of world. For we are the redeemed church. We are the living body, the fullness of Jesus Christ. He laid His mission on our hearts. He lit us up. Some of us may feel like we're just a small little bitty candle, barely flickering. And others may have matured into a big flashlight with a beam that goes across 20, 30 feet. Yet you know what? We all have the same characteristic. We are light bearers. And darkness cannot stand in the midst of the light. So I want us all to be encouraged this morning. That regardless of where you are in your Christian walk, because you're light bearers, because you bear the image of Christ being imprinted on your spirit man, you are part of a counterculture that as it walks in the dark environment among this world, we do truly make a difference. And Christ counts on us, for He left this church, you and I, His body, to make a difference in this world. He didn't just leave us as His body hanging just apart here and there. He said for us that we are the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. He is our fullness. Yet we are His fullness. I don't know how you feel about that, but you can feel about the mission of Christ in two ways. you can be very intimidated that there is such a heavy metal put on us. Whoo, I have to be the fullness of Christ. Now, wait a minute. I'm not quite perfect yet. How on earth can I be the fullness of Christ and represent my Christ, my Savior, to the entire world in His full characteristic of who He is? You can feel this way, intimidated. Or you could feel very empowered that you are the fullness of Christ. Because let me tell you, He didn't leave you alone to represent Him, but He made sure that He provided the venue through which you will represent Him. Do you know what is that venue? Jesus set us for success from the get-go. As soon as you said, "Yes, sir, you're now my Savior, you're my King, you're my Lord, to whom I will obey and follow," He said, "Come on, child. You're now walking from the kingdom of darkness, stepping into the kingdom of light. And let me tell you a secret. Your old self is no more. Everything from the past now has become new. Nothing of the old self transfers into the light." Now you would say, "Now wait a minute, this is not quite my experience. I got saved, and let me tell you, quite a lot of old stuff followed me and tries to resurrect its head daily." Anybody joining me in that testimony? Okay, all right. We'll go into putting off and putting on of the old self. I have that sermon after that one. Today, just be encouraged to know that your old self, everything old, has passed away. And in your spirit, man, you have been made totally brand new. So since nothing old in your spirit man has followed into the light, next time, as we continue this series of how this church can make a change in that world, we'll talk about what needs to be renewed daily. But the spirit man is totally brand new. It is made that all that actually separated you from the grace of God, now it's totally new. It is brand new. Nothing from what held you into the kingdom of darkness followed you into the kingdom of light. Now, this for us is extremely important to understand, because the enemy of our souls come daily to intimidate us. Comes and says, okay, I don't know how saved you are, but let me tell you what you did. Even this morning, as you left house, I mean, it was a mess at your home because you yelled at your spouse. Those kids were so slow to get dressed, and they were crying for that and crying for this. And you lost your temper. And as you lost your temper, you're thinking, now you're going to be meeting the mighty God. Let me tell you what this mighty God's going to do. He's just going to smack you all over. This is not how you come and present yourself to the Most Holy One. And it's on and on and on and on and on and on like that throughout the week. We fail once and we fail again and we fail again. And the enemy comes after us, intimidating us that you, as a part of the body of Christ, cannot represent His fullness. He comes and says what Ephesians chapter 1 refers to, that you, the bride, or His fullness, doesn't apply to you. Because you, in your actions, do not display the full image of Christ. So, thus, you are not the fullness of Christ. Anybody struggling with that? It is an honest, an honest discussion this morning, and I'm just glad that we all kind of on the same page. We know what we're talking about this morning. We are here in the kingdom of the light through the birth, through the new birth of the spirit man. Yet, the soul, emotions, mind still draws us from time to time to patterns of the past. And the enemy likes to come and bring those things through our flesh, through our emotions, through our mind. I would like for us to be encouraged this morning that the transformation that we have experienced as we became born-again Christians cannot be stopped by any intimidation, by any force of the darkness. And the new birth that has happened is a natural expression of a supernatural transformation. What an amazing reality that we live. The spirit man cannot stop but display the image of Christ. For the spirit man has been birthed by Christ in us, redeemed from the kingdom of darkness, and everything that had kept our spirit tied and dead in the kingdom of darkness, the Lord went in, resurrected it before we even were able to cry out to Him. He resurrected us from that death, brought us into the kingdom of light, and now the spirit man is an image bearer of Christ. And at all times, we display the image of Christ, and it is a natural progression into growing to be full image bearers. But even as we fail, there is a light flickering. And even when you beat yourself over the head because you have done something that the enemy have magnified in such a way that scares you to death to even come here in church or go to His presence to pray for refreshment and forgiveness. Because the enemy is just like that. He comes to you and he says, you're not worthy to approach the King of Kings. You cannot have an access to Jesus Christ, His Son, who died for us. Because once He died, and now are you going to be crucifying Him again and again? No, you're not crucifying Him. You're crucifying yourself, your flesh. And so you can look at the enemy and say, just get out. I resist you, and you have to flee away. For my Savior has granted me a free access. Because let me tell you, enemy, He has rebirthed my spirit. And now everything that was old is now new. Nothing from the old followed my spirit man, but you, enemy, had put such a burden on my physical body, on my emotions, on my mind. Yes, I need to fight and crucify myself. Jesus doesn't have to die again and again. It is just me dying to the temptations of this darkness, of the kingdom of darkness. And as I walk through life daily, I will crucify myself for the sake of my Savior, so I can display the image, for I am the image bearer. And I have the mantle on me, the mission of light that has to cast across the world and dispel the darkness. You know Matthew, Jesus actually in Matthew chapter 5 says, you're the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house to be truly the light of the world. Jesus was making a statement, not a wish. He was talking to his disciples, to his followers. He's talking to you and me today. Die for you, that whosoever may believe in me will have eternal life. Nothing can make me love you more or less. I love you. Period. And stop with that self-degradation, self-intimidation, thinking that you to the Holy Spirit and saying, what is going to gush out of you? And the scripture said, and he was referring to the Holy Spirit, those living waters that Jesus was talking about were actually referring to the person of the Holy Spirit who will come alongside us and also be within us. That baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's not out there for nothing. That baptism of the Holy Spirit is the empowering agent that takes us and makes us victorious. For he created us to be more than victorious, because Christ loved us in such a manner that he wasn't going to let us alone. Who else can be the bridge from the lost child to the loving Father, the creator of all humankind, if we do not step up to the plate? But if we are intimidated, if we really give up and say, okay, enemy, I'm defeated, I understand you bring all of those accusations, and I accept and I forfeit the opportunity to be the full representation of Jesus Christ as his church and his image bearers. There isn't anything better that the enemy would like for us to do, just to give it up. You're not really giving up your salvation, but you're giving up the opportunity to touch somebody else that is crying out in desperation, and there is no other agent but you and me to go out there to walk in that kingdom of darkness as a light. And who cares, I want to tell you, if you're a small little bitty flickering candle or you're a big flashlight, I'll tell you something, light in the darkness always dispels the darkness. So be encouraged today. I don't know how you measure your worth. I don't know how you measure your representation of Jesus Christ in this world. But I want to encourage you that whatever you do or do not do, it comes oozing out of you naturally. If you have been born again, if your spirit man has been transformed, regardless of what the enemy does and how the enemy tempts you, the image of Christ somehow illuminates you, because you're a light reflector. He has given us his glory so we may reflect the light. He's the light, and we reflect his light. We are ignited from his candle. His candle ignited our candle. And then we extend that light to the world that is dying. They're dying to see one flickering candle. Seriously. Sometimes we get together within four walls and we bring all of the light sources here and we blind ourselves. There is so much light. And we look at each other and we just want to do this because we cannot even see. There is so much light. But I want to tell you, that world out there, he's waiting for us to disperse among them and be a source of some sort of light bearing. People in darkness are satisfied even if we carry a candle and not a powerful light bulb or a powerful flashlight or a powerful street lamp. It helps as we mature in character as we mature in acts of love, as we capture those fears that exalt themselves above the name of Christ, a light shines even somewhat brighter. But even if you are just a small flickering candle, in the middle of the darkness out there, you're making a difference. You're part of His church, His redeemed, His true living body. And as you walk as marketplace ministers, you're making a difference. You're changing the world. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. And I want to remind you of a passage in Romans 8:29-39. It's a lengthy passage, and I will read it from the Message. Because I thought, whoa, this sounds like a sermon. God knew what He was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love Him along the same lines as the life of His Son. The Son stands first in the line of humanity He restored. We see the original and the intended shape of our lives there in Him. After God made that decision of what His children should be like, He followed it up by calling people by name. After He called them by name, He set them on a solid basis with Himself. And then, after getting them established, He stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what He had begun. He's completing it. It's not us. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing Himself to the worst by sending His own Son, is there anything else He wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Whew! Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way, not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Wow. What an empowering Savior we see. Serve. He has put everything down on the line for us. He has committed Himself to stay in the presence of the Father God and be our advocate at all times. Do you know what your enemy does at all times? He goes and accuses you day after day after day after day. But what Christ does for you, He sits in the presence of the Father, and He is your advocate on your side. And He is there sticking up for you and saying, Father, I was in the middle of all of it. I was tempted in everything, yet I didn't sin. So let me tell you, Father, if we empower them with the Holy Spirit who gushes out of their bellies, who gushes out of within, then they will be victorious. Their failures are not going to be a graveyard of disappointments. their failures are going to be a battlefield, the victory of testimonies, one after another, after another. For the failure, God would turn and use it for good. Your failure would instruct you of the entitlement and enticement and the temptation of the enemy. And the next time around, you would know. Next time around, you know how to stand. Next time around, you would know how you have experienced the provision and the empowerment of Christ in your life. And that testimony that you carry would give hope to somebody out there that has no future, that doesn't see any exit, any out. Those people that are totally hopeless, their life has no meaning, they're crying out for spirituality. People may not be flocking into the church, but people's hearts are crying out now more than ever before, for they're looking for spiritual meaning. They're looking for something more than just material possessions. They're looking for something deeper than physical attraction. They're looking for something sweeter than emotional connection. They're looking for spiritual meaningfulness, and it doesn't come unless the hunger of the Spirit is quenched. And you and I are that bridge that can take the desperate world from the claw of the enemy, carry them with you upon that bridge, the church, the fullness of Christ, into the presence, the liberating presence of Jesus Christ. Whatever you light, God needs it. You can be just a small candle. One of those birthday candles. You know what? They're so tiny and small and small diameter. Very little light. But you know what? Light is light. Light is light. Light dispels darkness. God loves to partner with humans because they are His expression of His image. Genesis chapter 1 says, He created us in His likeness. He created man, and then it describes what that means. Male and female, He created them in His image. We are the bearers of the Creator's image. And then the enemy really didn't like that, for he wanted to be the bearer of that image. But his pride didn't really place him in that position. His rebellion had gotten him out of being able to reflect the glory of the Creator. So the enemy, since day one, have attacked the image bearers of the King of Kings, of the one that rules over light. And he succeeded. The first humans rebelled against the mantle put on them. The first Adam didn't quite understand what it means to be a light bearer, to be the image bearer of a king. But the second Adam came. First among many, as we read. He was first among those that were redeemed now, that would be reconciled one more time in the standing of the King with the same privileges as the Son. For we are reconciled back as sons, as heirs of the Most High. Don't let anybody come and intimidate you. For how bright your light is. For that is not the question. The question is, are you light? And if you're light, then you may develop brighter and brighter. But be encouraged in the fact that you are a light bearer, a glory reflector of the one who died for you and who's empowering you today. For you, being His body, His fullness, can truly transform this dark world out there. Be His image-bearing representation to bring hope and to turn people from desperation into an eternal life with the King. As we are about ready to close, I want to read you one more passage as your altar call, and I'd like for you to reflect on that. And I'll ask that we would pray with the words that Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. I will be reading from the Message again. Everything of God gets expressed in Him. This is Christ. So you can see and hear Him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without Him. When you come to Him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. Entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already insiders, not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. If it is an initiation ritual you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection, God raising you from the dead as He did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. Yet, God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, that all the rest weren't canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. So who can ever come against you and accuse you, since you're all covered by the blood of Christ and His sacrifice on the cross? Whew. This is the most amazing, empowering truth that is out there in this world. For Christ did something for you before you ever did anything for Him. And nothing after you surrender it to the King can take you away from that love, can diminish that love, can diminish the sacrifice for your life. Nothing can make Him love you less. For He loved you when you were totally unlovable. Do you think He will stop loving you now after you've already surrendered it to Him? He's actually working on maturing you and empowering you to walk in a greater light. I'd like for all of us now to stand and to invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives. Let's all bow our heads. For those of us that may be here and do not know Christ is the light bearer for our particular circumstance. If you do not know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, I would like to extend an invitation this morning that you will consider the transformational power that lies within a decision to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. I would like to invite you to step from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light by submitting to Jesus Christ. And you can do that right as you're sitting there. I'd like to talk to you after the service if you have made that decision. For the rest of us, that the Holy Spirit had stirred this morning as the light bearer and as the image presenter of His church into this world. I'd like for us to commit ourselves to not be intimidated, but to look for every opportunity that the Lord would present to us to bear His light and be world changers. I'll give you a minute to seal that commitment to Christ. Father, we're just so grateful that Your word is yes and amen, and nothing can change it. And we glorify Your name. We thank You that Your love transcends what we carry, what's happening daily in our lives. Father, we bless Your name, and we thank You for that life that You have presented in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we thank You for the love that You have towards us. We present our lives as a total surrender to You. And we're asking that You would use us in the way that You would see fit, Father, that we may be the light in this dark world, that we may be true representation of the fullness of Christ. In the name of Jesus, we present that to You. Amen. You're dismissed.